Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. We are here at ISU for the 2011 Special Olympics State Games, and we are here now with Mike Furnish, President and CEO of the Special Olympic Games. Hi Mike.
Hello Michelle, welcome back to Summer Games.
I am so happy to be here. It is a nice sunny day. It's humid, but we are having a great time.
When you think about and look forward to an event for the whole year, it's great to finally be here and finally to be started with all the fun.
Absolutely. Another year, another games for you.
This is number 42, actually.
For you?
Well, no, I'm not that old.
Okay. All right.
I am that old, but this is the 42nd Summer Special Olympics Games. We had the first ones in 1969, and those games were in Indianapolis.
Right.
They were held at a baseball stadium, so it was kind of a funny place to hold a track meet. The year after that, people from here at Indiana State University said, we'd love to have you visit us.
Awesome.
They put together a whole bunch of planning, and the games moved here in 1970. They've been here every year since, except for 2 years. There are 2 years where the games were moved to Notre Dame because Indiana hosted the World Special Olympics Games in 1987. And we used our summer games those 2 years to help them get ready for that big event.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I was watching an interview yesterday, and Anderson Cooper was interviewed. And he said something that struck me, and I thought, I should use that with Mike when I interview him. Because he said, doing what you love is an extension of yourself. So with you being a president and CEO, every year you do this. So how do you keep doing it over and over? Is there a new perspective that comes into line?
I will tell you, Michelle, that my personal story is that the challenges and the joys just keep changing and getting better. We have all kinds of things we would love to accomplish in Special Olympics.
Sure.
We want to reach more athletes. We want to do new sports. We're persistently interested in improving the quality of the experience for the people who participate. And to do that, you have to keep pressing ahead. You have to keep your eye on the future. And it's never old. It's nice to come back. I will say it's never old, but it's also lovely to come back each year for 42 years and have a traditional event. Tonight we'll have opening ceremonies, and we'll sing the national anthem, and we'll light the flame, and we'll have people crying at the joy that Special Olympics creates for them. And it's lovely to have these touch points, but next Monday when the games are over with, we're back to work and we're thinking about what next and what more can we do. And we really have some exciting new stuff scheduled for this year.
So let's talk about the new stuff. What's in store?
The new stuff. This is a big thing, and actually I'm kind of telling you for the first time of anybody.
Ooh, this is good. Okay.
This is good. On September the 24th and 25th in Indianapolis, Special Olympics Indiana will hold the first ever Eunice Kennedy Shriver Games.
Oh, yes, because she died recently, didn't she?
She passed away just about a year and a half ago, and a result of her passing was last Saturday in September was declared to be Eunice Kennedy Shriver Day globally.
Okay.
Where people who have been touched by Special Olympics are encouraged to create something in her honor. In the first year, many Special Olympics programs worldwide, including Indiana, did service projects. We had athlete crews going into communities and helping to clean, doing food pantry stuff, doing all kinds of things that gave back to the communities that have supported us so well. And when we were done with that, it was neat, but it wasn't as satisfying. We weren't quite doing what we thought Mrs. Shriver deserved. And the more we talked about it, the more we realized her spirit really shows up best when athletes compete, when athletes have a chance to show their ability. And
because what kind of person was she?
She had great ideas, and she expected everybody associated with her to reach for those ideas.
Okay.
It's the only way an organization can do something like Special Olympics has done, to have such visionary leadership that causes people to see beyond what seems right into what can be. And it's the spirit that's driven Special Olympics since its beginning. And if you asked your question earlier about does it get old, actually it doesn't get old. It gets more challenging to imagine what's the next big step. You know, we're hoping that EKS Games in Indianapolis in September will be a big step. we know it will be an interesting dynamic because it will bring a big Special Olympics event to Indianapolis
right.
for the first time.
Right.
And we're hoping by being in the community in Indianapolis, we'll create all kinds of new partnerships and all kinds of great awareness about what our athletes can do.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, I've talked to parents today that say, you know, I never knew the potential that my child could have. And I had a parent cry on me because she was like, I never knew this could happen. So what does that do for you? What is the satisfaction that you're doing what you love and you're touching other people too?
Well, that's it's maybe a crass description, but it's the gas in my tank. It fills all of our volunteers. You imagine, how is it that we can get so many hundreds of people here on hot days in June to run these games? And it's a challenging amount of work.
Sure.
And our volunteers come back year after year, and they do it with no expectation in return. We actually did a little math a few weeks ago in our office and realized that our volunteers contribute roughly $3 million a year worth of free work to see that Special Olympics takes place.
Yeah.
When that parent says, I've never seen my son do this, when the parent says, my daughter's doing things we never thought she could,
yeah,
that's why this all works.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with great leadership or highfalutin sponsorships or great marketing. It has to do with the fact that when people connect with the cause and realize the changes in a person's life Special Olympics make, everything else falls into play. So it really comes, it's our athletes, and they provide the fire.
I was talking to James Reno earlier too, the police officer that ran the torch run, and he said, you know, you once you're involved in this, you can't tell somebody, oh, Special Olympics is a great thing, until you're involved in it.
Yep.
What do you tell people that want to be involved?
Show up.
Then you'll find out.
We are very aggressive about trying to make Special Olympics part of new people's lives. And our real effort, Michelle, is to do that more and more so with young people.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually executing a goal this weekend where we now have 10 young people under the age of 25 who are serving in leadership roles here.
Mm-hmm.
They're in charge of a tent, or they're in charge of a station, or they're in charge of a service. And we realize that a real key to the growth of our community is getting young people to embrace possibilities like we did back when I was young,
mm-hmm.
which was a really long time ago.
You're not that old, are you? No. Now, let's talk a little bit about you, because I don't think I got to you much last year. What brought you here? What brought you to the president CEO of Special Olympics? What brought you here?
It's a pretty boring story. You sure you want to hear this?
It's okay. Let's do.
Okay. Well, my connection to Special Olympics started in 1973. I was 19 years old, probably about your age.
Okay. Well, I'm a little older, okay. But, you know, I'm 26.
Oh, okay. Well, you look 19.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I'm working my way through college.
Okay.
And worked in a shop in downtown Indianapolis, packing parts and shipping electronics all over the state. And the guy that worked next to me one day at work said, Mike, what are you doing Tuesday night? And I told him, I'm free. I'm available. Now, I'm imagining Phil's asking me if I want to go out and have a party or do something
right.
fun.
As a 19-year-old, yeah, you would expect that.
I was all about that. And turns out that Phil took me to a local swimming pool where there was a program for Special Olympics athletes. And he says, I can't be the lifeguard here unless I have someone in the pool as a volunteer, and you're it tonight. And I'll tell you, it wasn't startling, but it was a surprise to me that we were there. What was more surprising that night was within about 30 minutes, I had an idea what I wanted to do with my life.
Wow.
It was that instantaneous. And again, just like I said earlier, it was all attributable to the people I was in the pool with. They were loving. They were energetic. They brought a level of fun to how we spent our time that I simply wasn't getting anywhere else in my life. So I became a volunteer, and within a few months I was in charge of a basketball tournament, and a few months later I was an area director. And as it goes now, in the past 30 some years, I have had one just really wonderful opportunity after the next, and I'm probably above my my scale right now trying to be the president of an organization this big and progressive, but everybody should be as lucky as I've been when it comes to a career.
What a good attitude is that? I love that attitude. Wow. And did it surprise you that you were 19 and in a couple of minutes you had everything straightened out as far as what you wanted to do?
I think sometimes you find in life what you're looking for when you're not looking for it. I wasn't on a career quest. I wasn't anxious about what I was going to do the next year or the next year. I was having a fun time being a 19-year-old. But the fact that I found something that I enjoy so much, talking with one of our volunteers today at the Torch ceremony in Indianapolis as they're getting ready to run the Torch here for the opening ceremonies tonight. And he's talking about how many hours he works for Special Olympics and set up, but I never think about it as work. And that's the real key. These aren't jobs. The people that work on our staff, the volunteers that are here, aren't really doing work for the sake of a job.
Right.
For the most part.
Right.
They're here because they've been touched by the cause. And
yeah,
it's pretty cool to hang out with people and work on a daily basis for people who have that kind of the passion about what they do.
Yeah, yeah. And tonight, when you've been through millions of opening ceremonies, but what's the feeling at the opening ceremonies? I mean, I asked that last year, but I want to know because I'm not going to be here to see the opening ceremonies, but what's it do?
Well, right now you're asking me here at 3:30 on Friday before opening ceremonies that start at 7, and I'll tell you, I'm kind of freaking out about it.
Understandable.
We have entertainment. This year we have the show choir from Plainfield High School coming out and doing a glee routine as entertainment. Very cool.
Very nice.
We have several athletes involved in opening ceremonies. A master of ceremonies. We have an athlete from Fort Wayne who will sing the national anthem, Elise Hazlett. And we have an athlete by the name of Michael Byerly from Valparaiso who will sing a theme song as the torch is brought into the arena and carried around the crowd until it makes it to the cauldron. And boy, I'm confident because it always works out, but I'm really hoping the athletes all have a really good night tonight.
Yeah, yeah. After all is said and done, what do you feel like at the end of the day? You've done all this, you've touched somebody, you've touched millions of people. What do you feel like?
Can I tell you a story?
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I've talked long enough. I have to tell a story.
No, you're all right.
Okay. There was a big race in Indianapolis last Sunday, the Sunday before Memorial Day.
Yes, yes.
The Indianapolis 500.
Yes.
Yep. Several hundreds of thousands of people showing up. And after the race, the drivers were talking about how much they love Indianapolis because the spirit of that crowd raises the importance and their abilities and their aspiration, their satisfaction with doing what they're doing. Well, that's kind of what happens here. Although what we do is better and more pure, everybody here hoping for the same thing raises everyone's spirit. There was an interesting thing that happened at the end of the race. There was a rookie who was driving and driving and driving, mm-hmm. doing a really good job, and then all of a sudden
he crashes.
In the last two laps, he now has a chance to win the race.
He crashes.
And everybody in the crowd is holding their breath, thinking, there's no way this is going to happen. And after 799 good turns, on the last turn of the race, he hits the wall. Now, it's a remarkable thing because he hit the wall and his wheels come off his car, and he continues to drive. He's got his hands on the wheel and his foot's pressed all the way to the floor, and he's driving as fast as he can to make it to the finish line.
Oh, yeah.
And at the very last second, the car in second place passes him and wins the race, and he finishes second. And everybody felt really sorry for him. Everybody felt really bad. And it occurs to me, what if something like that would happen at Special Olympics? And then I realize it does. It happens at Special Olympics every time we have an event. An athlete starts off, they're having the best day of their life, they're trying their best, and every once in a while they crash. It's not be surprising here if the other athletes stop and help him up, and they make sure he gets to the finish line intact.
With them.
What would a difference have been last Sunday if the second place car had pulled over on the track and gotten behind that poor young man and pushed him across the line first? The guy that won a lot of money, but he'd have been a hero if he'd have done it the right way. And in Special Olympics, you get these opportunities to see it done the right way.
Mike Furnish, thank you. I wish you the best tonight.
I wish we had summer games four times a year just so I could talk to you
Me
that
too.
Often.
Me too.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.